This is Shop Talk, our weekly discussion of journalism issues. I'm Rich Egger.
I'm Will Buss.
I'm Raj V. Subramanian.
The BBC reported that a few months ago, millions of TV viewers across South Korea were watching the MBN channel to catch up on the latest news. At the top of the hour, regular news anchor Kim Ju-ha started to go through the day's headlines. The BBC says this was a relatively normal list of stories for late 2020, yet this particular bulletin was far from normal. Kim Ju-ha was not actually on the screen. Instead, she had been replaced by a deep fake version of herself, a computer-generated copy that aims to perfectly reflect her voice, gestures, and facial expressions. Viewers had been informed beforehand that this was going to happen. The BBC said South Korea media reported that viewers had a mixed reaction. Some were amazed at how realistic it was. Others said they were worried that the real Kim Ju-ha might lose her job. What about you, Rajvi? What are your concerns about this, or do you think this is a good thing?
See, first of all, we need to have a very clear conceptual definition of a deep fake. It is nothing but, you know, anything that's fake video or audio recording that look or sound just like the real thing. That's what is a deep fake. But this is not something new. This has been happening forever. I remember when I was in school, one of my friends, he forwarded an email with a top celebrity who was nude. I was like, man, this is like pretty awesome. But then I realized later that it was completely faked with a different body and the face. So it's been happening for quite some time. It's not something new.
Okay, but from a journalism perspective, for a news organization to use this and have it seem to be the real person, what are your thoughts? Are you okay with that?
See, the problem is that can actually, you know what, we can, somebody are quick to point out that, or somebody can fall for it. The point is, it can have tremendous consequences when it is released at a time that is very crucial. Imagine there is going to be an election tomorrow, and I release a fake video about a candidate doing something or, you know, saying something that can totally contradict about his or her views. That can affect someone's career. That can affect democracy. That can affect the way we even function as a society.
Well, I'll say again, you know, this is, we're discussing journalism issues here. What about using these deepfakes for journalistic purposes?
Again, those are the things that I'm kind of building up to the situation that these were the terrain of, technology that was only sophisticated few across the globe were able to manipulate for their own content and movie making and all that. But with simple apps, anybody can create this, and this, people can fall for it. And that's the problem with journalism. As a journalist, if I come across that content, oh, this looks so genuine. Okay, so this is something not good. I can go ahead and publish it, which can have tremendous impact among that particular organization or its followers. So this is what is a very, very, you know, troubling situation that we are in right now. The ability for anybody to produce a deepfake. I was at my friend's last week, and she made a deepfake of someone with Sound of Music. And I said, like, how is it even possible? No, it's a deepfake app. All you have to do is upload your face, and it easily replicate your face with the character's face. I mean, this can be fun, but what if this can have some serious repercussions where people can misuse the content and publish it online, and people can take it for real, including the journalist? And that can be a serious issue, because the journalist cannot know which one is real or which one is not, depending upon the ability of the journalist. So it's a very kind of a sticky terrain, Rich.
Well, and hearing about this reminded me of kind of a running joke in my last days as a daily newspaper reporter some five and a half years ago, where every time something changed in our newsroom, or something was cut back or something was augmented, some for the better, some for maybe not so much for the better, for the worse. And the joke was, well, you know, the reporter robots will be along soon. You know, we're going to be these automatons or something that are going to churn out copy and reporters' judgment and minds and intelligence and background and training won't be needed. And I hear or read a story about this and start to wonder if you know, the truth is stranger than fiction. But you know, no, this is certainly not good when we have a section or a sector of our community that is guaranteed in our Bill of Rights, that is so incredibly necessary in our democracy, and yet we now have a news media in another country that's doing this, providing this kind of practice that is easily deceptive. And it's very troubling, and especially at a time where people are questioning the media now more than ever. And, you know, this is concerning on many levels. For one, for the industry, another for keeping journalists involved and trained and employed. And this is just another very troubling move that I see that's something we're just going to have to combat.
Well, I could see from a management standpoint, this might look attractive. You never have to worry if your anchor gets sick or goes on vacation. The person can still be there on the screen.
Well, be that as it may, well, if you're liable to do that, then what are you liable to do, right? You might keep moving that line back, right? Then, well, let's just not hire reporters. Let's just see if we have some kind of a robot or some kind of machine that can do the reporting. I mean, there's already talk or has been talk in the past about having template or formatted stories that are written, and then we just have information filling in the blanks where we don't have a trained reporter. Someone with that mentality and background that has the forethought and the ability to separate, you know, fact from fiction, get the facts and report that on the best on behalf of the citizens of the country. And I think we lose that when we start entertaining thoughts of using this, and we're not careful with it.
Well, on the other hand, to my earlier point, would be that journalism is supposed to be about truth.
Yes.
And honesty. And are you being truthful and honest with the audience if you're using a deep fake as an anchor?
Now, and not even if you're saying beforehand that this is a halogen or whatever it is. It's no. I think there's a slippery slope when you start approaching it that way.
And I think also ethics come to play a very important point right now. For instance, imagine it's my body, it's my face, but whatever the content I'm saying does not come from me, but it comes from somebody else. So it's a very kind of an ethical situation we'll be placed in right now. So far, it was used in entertainment. Imagine recreating Marlon Brando about doing a scene after which he had died, and posthumously people had to use that, okay? And imagine those kind of scenario it is with entertainment, it's fine. But in terms of journalism, this is going to be really, really very disturbing, because imagine, just as you pointed out, journalism is all about seeking the truth. And right now, we are manipulating the content for our convenience so that we can deliver something that is based on our convenience. So this can kind of go into some ethical issues. And I think definitely this is not going to sit well with the audience, given the fact of the use of artificial intelligence to create fake audio and fake video. And that can be fun on the side where people are right now using in lots of platforms, which is totally fine, you know. But the problem is, ordinary people cannot distinguish between what is a good, genuine video and what is something that's fake. And that's exactly the problem right now we'll be facing, because given the fact the political situation or the climate across the world, whether it's Africa, Asia, or even the United States, people want to watch and listen to content that resonates with them. And people with access to technology like this, they can create content and put out on news platforms and organization platforms, which is convenient for them. So the people will fall for all this stuff, and their views will be amplified based on how people can use it for propaganda. That's my take.
Well, and I would just say again, whatever your take or my take or Will's take might be, if management sees a way to save money or always have its most popular anchor on the air for big events, They're very likely to take advantage of that.
I see so too, but I think you're also playing with something that's potentially dangerous and potentially deceptive. And I think there's so many ways with the technology that we have that deceives people, and it loses the trust that we have in journalism. And I just think in this time and day and age and what's been happening in recent history, that's a very big risk right now to take.
We are going to wrap up our discussion for this week. Our listeners can join us again next week here at TSPR.org for more of Shop Talk.